following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda and Damon Day is sitting in the chair across from me on this Tuesday. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Running. It's a busy time. It's a good busy time, though, right?
Are you busy time of year?
Game 3 of the Fall Ball World Series. Tonight, 7 p.m. Memorial Field.
No, it's not.
Yep.
No, it's not.
Yep.
I think you actually make this stuff up just to perturb me.
No. No reason not to play tonight at 7 because of class schedules. Want to get all the boys
there.
It's
going to be nicer tomorrow.
Yeah. But I always tell people, like, last night when we played was nicer than anything we'll play in during the spring. So, you know, it's kind of one of those, you know, we really have to do it because of class schedules more than anything else. Since UNK has a distinct class scheduling where the majority of universities, everybody's done by one, our university likes to spread it out till 5:30, 6 o'clock.
So, like, when's the last class start? I mean, there's evening class, but, like...
Yeah, like, there's, like, some of our guys don't get done till, like, 3:30. Like, really just weird. I think it's weird. I mean, when I went to school and, you know, we were always done by one.
So, first pitch at 4:15, no? I mean, because we've got to roll the field and go through 65 minutes of pregame.
No, because there's always like, because in baseball, there's always like that one or two guys that has like that 3:15 to 6 o'clock class once a week. And unfortunately,
it's their day to sit.
Yeah, unfortunately for us, we don't have the numbers or the depth to have too many guys at that same position based upon injuries. And
World Series Game 6.
But see, that's
what you like to watch with your son.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to, but at the end of the day, it really has no impact on my life, whereas this does actually have an impact on what I'm trying to accomplish. I mean, that's what's great about, contrary to what the majority of everyone thinks, what happens with the Huskers or what happens with our favorite team does not directly impact, you know, us as human beings and what we're trying to accomplish in our day-to-day existence. So... And this is an important, to me, it's an extraordinarily important week because it's kind of that you're trying to make some final decisions. You got to make your final decisions now because it's very unfair to make final decisions coming out of a gym. I mean, everyone, you know, we keep our fingers crossed, but there's a good possibility we'll not have an outdoor practice until about game 16 or 17 into our season. So you kind of got to have a blueprint of who can do what and how they can do it now because everything else is either going to be done on a short, small track of land that's been plowed, or it's going to be the day before we have a contest somewhere. So that's all the interesting things that go into being a Northern coach. And with the way this fall has gone, my optimism for a quiet winter has dramatically been diminished with as late as the fall has gone.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. This comes from Marcus, Steve, Chris, Manny, Logan, Colton, and Spencer. They want to know, what if the Indians were in the World Series tonight?
Well, the Indians aren't in the World Series tonight.
Well, what if they were?
We can all talk about hypotheticals, and, you know, I guess if you want to live in a world where that's not happening anytime soon, then I guess, you know, then there would probably be a change in schedule. But the Indians aren't in the World Series, and I don't really care at this point.
Hey, Stutz is going to be on the show tomorrow. Anything I need to know?
No. What's he? Tomorrow's what? Hoops? Hoops tickets?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, good.
He's doing other things. Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. Real proud of him moving up to the administrative role, taking over as the ticket manager, and that's a progression that you like to see from your assistants, is kind of move up and move on and get to doing some things. And he does a phenomenal job with anything that he does. He's a work ethic type of guy, and so real proud of him and the move that he's made up to that. And I know he's out selling tickets right now, so it'll be interesting to see. Hey, they're going to be a good team. You know, Coach Lofton and Coach Kropp, I think, got a good group of guys. And I think it's going to be an exciting basketball season. I'm looking forward to it.
Did he go to game one last week?
Yes, he did. He did go to game one of the World Series last week. He brought home Bubba a postseason t-shirt. So real nice of him to think of Bubs.
Have to be there tonight?
No, he does not. Okay. No, he does not. Right. Unfortunately, with his administrative roles, his baseball roles have been diminished, and that's usually how it works.
Okay, so you say it's game three of the fall World Series. Is that it? Do you just play it three?
No. We actually have we have so many questions left on what we're trying to accomplish that it's a 5-game set. Sometimes some years you do like a 1-gamer because you kind of already know, and some years you do 3 games. But this year, with the way the schedule's worked out and us having enough fall ball days still left, we decided we're going to go with five games. So it's tied at 1-1 right now.
Coming up
in two very, very bad baseball games. They won 11-4 and 14-2, so lopsided on both ends.
Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk with UNK football coach Daryl Morris, Hastings coach Tony Harper, Stu Pospisil, who was unable to join us for personal reasons yesterday. He had a funeral. Will join us today to talk high school football playoffs. Tomorrow it is our Husker lunch. We'll be at Cunningham's with Sean Callahan of Husker Online. Bob Jensen will join us from Huskerland Prep Report. As we said, Mr. Stutzman and John Mazner, soccer coach, as they get ready for the final games of the regular season. They can make the postseason with a good showing at home Thursday and Sunday. So we'll talk with him tomorrow. Coming up later this week, Michelle Yu is going to join us Thursday. Gina Bacola Friday for the Breeders' Cup. We've got Spencer Lindsay, Kearney High graduate, who saw his first varsity action for the Huskers on Saturday. He's going to join us. Luke Hoover, RotoWire, a Purdue perspective. It's all coming up this week on the Doug and Daddy Show. One thing, though, I did want to mention is that recently, after being accosted and made fun of for, nearly 2 years, I did get a new phone. So recently, and I'm still learning about the new phone, and it's a good thing that I have friends that can help me add apps. Okay, so here's this, here's that, here's your fantasy football app is where we're going to go with this one. And it's nice to have the ESPN app. I have the one for our fantasy football. I have the one just for normal Sports Center stuff. But I already know I got my ass kicked this weekend. I don't need an update from ESPN Fantasy Football letting me know that happened again. And that just happened 30
seconds motivation.
Ago.
It's just motivation. It's like, you know, it's like bulletin board material. They're just letting you know, hey, you got to get better. Got to coach your guys up a little bit. I just want to know, did you go against Ben Roethlisberger, or did you have Ben Roethlisberger this weekend?
Okay, I've said this before, and I don't know anybody that played Ben Roethlisberger. He's a backup quarterback in every league, unless you were fortunate enough that your real guy was, your number one guy was on a bye. I am in two leagues where you draft. Well, three leagues where you draft, but two of them you go head-to-head, where that would make a difference, where that would matter. In the league from ESPN, I do not have Ben Roethlisberger. I have Matt Stafford, and it's his bye week. It looks like it's Ryan Tannehill to step up for Miami. Woohoo! In the other league, I had Colin Kaepernick. I acquired Tom Brady because somebody dropped him after the little struggle against the Chiefs, they dropped him. I snapped him up, and I played Tom Brady on Sunday, who scored the second most points of the year by anybody in this particular league. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger scored the most. Luckily, he was on my bench.
Ooh.
So I have them both, and all of a sudden, trade offers are starting to come down the line. I don't know how my team has ever been beaten, but
I want to know if the GM for the team that released Brady has been fired from his fantasy team yet. Has his fantasy team released him?
I want to know how the week I play Marcus Colston, he doesn't do a whole lot, so I decide, all right, I'll give this rookie Cooks a chance. He does nothing, so I put Colston back in this weekend, and Cooks goes, Kanango, psycho, runs one in, catches. Let's take a look at our Doug and Daddy Cunningham's Journal Fantasy Football Challenge. We have a winner. M. Grove 711 is the winner. He gets the $25 gift card to Cunningham's. He's in for the Super Bowl party. He had, let's see, who was his hot hand? Well, he had two, maybe the best two running backs, Arian Foster and DeMarco Murray. He had Golden Tate, good pick. He had the Gronk at tight end, awesome. Aaron Rodgers, good. Russell Wilson and Jordy Nelson were probably his two downfalls. And I also want to say, yeah, the one time I put a little faith in Jordy Nelson, thanks. But you can sign up for the Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge each and every week. It's a separate week unto its own. And all you have to do is go to the Doug and Daddy banner on ESPNSuperstation.com. Anything, you know, for you?
Nothing. Life's good.
All right, we're going to jump.
Busy as ever.
We're going to jump both feet into football then. Are you ready for that?
Always ready for some football conversation.
We'll take a break. Daryl Morris, Tony Harper, and more coming up.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 60. We'll see wind gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear with a low near 30. For Wednesday, we'll have sunny skies with a high near 63, and Wednesday night, mostly clear. Currently, it's 45.
Sunday morning, 9 a.m., I saw fire in the sky.
Little Hagar.
Oh, what are we listening to here?
Hold on, not the best part, because the whole song's awesome, but here's what you're looking for right here. See, there's a little something to it right there for you. little hangar. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on this Tuesday as we get ready to talk a little football. But when we talk football, I went in and divulged at the chicken coop last night. Had some wings, had some balls of cheese, had some beverages, watched the Cowboys. And I can't be upset about being 6-2. It's just the way it happened at the end. But we'll talk about that. And the Chicken Coop opens 7 days a week to take care of you. The lunch special runs from 11 to 4 every day, but they're open on the menu. Get anything you want, anytime you want it. 11 to 4 today, it's a salad and soda for $7. Taco salad, chicken salad, whatever you want. Get the wing sauce on the chicken. It's all good for you. Or burgers, pizza, appetizers. They've got steaks and a whole lot more on the menu anytime at the Chicken Coop. 2 to 5:30, you can get specials on appetizers, long necks, and draws. The Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, sports bar and grill. Located in downtown Kearney. Don't forget, it's never too early to book your holiday parties. Get a hold of Colin and the gang today at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. Well, the UNK football team will be back in action this Saturday as they welcome in Fort Hays State. That's an old rivalry game from the RMAC days and beyond. But Coach Daryl Morris joins us to recap where the Lopers are at. And, Coach, good morning.
Morning, guys.
How's it going?
Not bad.
I like it. Man, you take me through the football game on Saturday because you come out, you have a top 10 team in the country down at halftime, and you're playing some really good football.
Well, you know, we did play very well. We played, I mean, we were winning the game in the third quarter, which is, you know, what we wanted. We wanted to go into the fourth quarter with it being a football game, and it was. You know, a very solid football team had just beaten the defending national champions handedly, really, and we had them down at half, and we had them down in the third quarter, and then, you know, as our situation would have it, it was a hot day. It was on turf. It was probably 90 degrees, and we just ran out of gas. We don't have the depth that Pittsburgh State has, so we eventually, you know, succumbed to the extended play and ended up losing the football game. But played very, very hard and played some of our better football to this date.
And this is a one-point ball game going into the fourth quarter. I know the coaches and the players can get caught up in being in the game. Was there a message as you guys huddled to send them out there to start the fourth?
Well, you know, I remember the kids walking around holding up the hand with four fingers, knowing that it was the fourth quarter and that it was a football game, and that's what we went into that game. We told them we want this to be a game in the fourth quarter because we feel like if it's a game in the fourth quarter, then we obviously got a shot to win it. And, you know, we didn't, but, you know, we still played hard, took their best shot, and they took our best shot, and we ended up having more points on the board at halftime than they did, and then came out and had a big play in the third quarter and put them down even further, and then, you know, tried to fight them off. And again, until we can get our football program on a level playing field, we're going to lose those kind of games because we just don't have the depth that we need, and this is an attrition sport.
And they had the ball a long, long time in this football game too.
Yeah, they had the ball a long time, and we struggled on occasion to get ourselves off the field defensively, and we've struggled all year of getting ourselves off the field sometimes, especially when it's third and long. And you know, but still, the kids fought hard, played hard, and had them on the ropes for quite some time.
Talking with Daryl Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. You hit some big plays in this football game too, and you've done that here in this last four game stretch.
Well, we are starting to gel, and that was a concern of our football team as a coaching staff as we came into this season with 50 new guys and probably, you know, 20 transfer guys that were going to be playing for us. We knew there would be a transitional period. We knew there would be an adjustment period. It would take them a while to get on the same page, and it does. The timing between the receivers and the quarterback takes time, and the only thing that, you know, the only way you get reps is through time. So we knew that was going to be the process, and we do think we are getting better. We do, and we are getting better. If you don't think we're getting better, you're not paying good attention. But, you know, it's going to cause people to have to defend us differently now. We're not just one-dimensional. You know, we took probably the best corner in the MIAA for Pittsburgh State and beat him on a double move and had him chasing our guy for 50 yards, and he couldn't catch him. So we now can throw the football. People are going to have to realize we can throw the football. We've been running the football well. So now what do you defend? Do you spread your linebackers out? You know, do you bring it back in the box? So then we'll throw the football on you. So I'm feeling good about our offense being a double threat, being balanced, and causing people some difficulty in terms of defending us.
Darryl, let's take it one step farther because we talked about it and you called him out a little bit in the first month of the season about that offensive line. What's making it work now?
Well, I think probably what's making it work, again, is I think everything's just kind of coming together. I mean, Pete Trausch, you know, has been playing center now for 6-8 games and getting better and better. And Luke Brown has stepped in and been playing quite a bit of tackle for us. And, you know, we've had Alan Carroll some, and he's been out for about 3 weeks now. So, you know, it's a constant rotation type of deal. Brett Douglas played pretty well the other day. So, you know, but I think it's just us coming together, along with the guys in the backfield also seeing things a little bit better than what they were earlier in the season. And nothing helps the running game when the passing game begins to open things up a little bit. They've got to get out of the box. They've got to cover guys. We're throwing the ball to the tight end. They've got to cover him. And now there's just more running lanes inside.
Talking with Darryl Morris, you touched on it a little bit there. I think we talked last week a lot about their offense, and you mentioned their defense. But, boy, they had a pretty good defensive effort.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they're a good football team. And, you know, we talked about Northwest Missouri maybe having the best front seven in Division II. These guys are going to be right in the same ballpark. But, you know, I mean, RC ran off about a 47-yard run on them, and we threw the ball on them. We protected the quarterback pretty well. Bronson Marsh had a 34-yard scamper for a touchdown. So we scored touchdowns on them just about every way you can do it, throwing it and running it. And, you know, but they were still a stout defense, and you got to tip your hat to them. And, I mean, they got good players.
Darryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, is with us for just another couple of minutes. Had a local Tri-City kid, Nate Hendricks, do some good things out of Hastings, Adams Central.
Yeah, I mean, Nate Hendricks playing a lot of defensive end for us. You know, Wyatt Anderson out of Arapahoe, Nebraska, is playing a lot of football for us right now. And these are some young guys that have been, you know, kind of forced into action. I mean, Nate was going to play a lot for us. We knew that coming into the season. But, you know, if you talk about the health of our football team right now, we're very healthy. Comparatively speaking, we're extremely healthy compared to the last couple years, but where we have sustained injury is up front on defense. And that, again, came to show. That showed up on Saturday in the hot day on 90-degree temperature on the turf. And, you know, that's just where we are as a football program. And as we continue to elevate our fundraising, as we continue to elevate our recruiting and our development of our players, then I think we start winning some of these games down the road. I think we're exactly on schedule, and I think if we continue to grow, if we can continue to get the commitment out of our fundraising, continue to get the commitment out of our athletic department, which we're getting with Dr. Polinsky, and our institution with Chancellor Christensen, we beat everybody in this league in a football game eventually.
Coach, this weekend, Fort Hays State, Border War coming in, rivalry. It's a connect and honor to honor our veterans. And yesterday the boys were out in Grand Island visiting with them, which is something that kind of goes unseen, is just how much UNK athletics and especially the football program gives back to the community, as all the programs do. But what's this weekend with it being a rivalry game? What is Fort Hays going to try to do to come in and be successful?
Well, Fort Hays now is a very good defensive football team. They kept Pittsburgh State out of the end zone. Pittsburgh State did not score a touchdown on Fort Hays, so they're very good defensively. They're probably about as good as we are offensively, maybe not quite as good, but the quarterback can throw the football. The quarterback can hurt you with his legs. He's got some kids to throw it to. So I think it's a toss-up game. If you look at it statistically, both teams, comparably speaking, you know, we're a little better in this area. They're a little better in that area. So I think it's a completely toss-up game. It's really going to come down to who doesn't make the mistakes that put them behind the chains on offense and who doesn't give up the big play on defense, probably.
Are there that many good receivers in the league? Because it seems like every week we talk about one of them, and you got a couple guys that are starting to emerge too.
Well, yeah, we do, and I think, but yeah, I do think this league is loaded with skilled people. I think there's great defensive backs in this league, and as we talked about going into the MIAA, you know, coming out of the RMAC, the difference was going to be depth, and that's held up true. I was exactly correct on that one, and the speed, that the difference in speed in this league, I'm exactly correct on that one. This league is a much faster league than what we used to see in the RMAC.
Darryl, last three teams that you face here, all right around that 500 mark. You get two of the three games at home. What would it mean to finish out 3-0?
Well, I mean, gee whiz, that'd make us 5-6. That'd be an improvement over our first 2 years. And again, that would just validate what we're saying as a coaching staff. What we think we know is that as we're becoming a more competitive football program, and it goes back to what I said before, if we can continue to increase our fundraising, if we can get the commitment out of the institution that we feel like we have to have out of a, for our football program, then we will eventually beat Northwest Missouri in a game. We'll beat Pittsburgh State in a game, because let's be honest, we're behind those guys in just about every facet of a program. But we were beating them in the third quarter, so we're not that far away. So winning these last three games, or a couple of them, or whatever, or playing solid competitive football in them, just shows that we're just not that far off. And just with a little bit more effort on our part and the institution's part and the athletic department's part, then we're going to be a competitive football program.
Well, Coach, we'll get you back to preparations for Hayes then, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Daryl. Daryl Morris, head football coach at Fort Hayes, at UNK. They get ready to host Fort Hayes State at 12 noon at Foster Field coming up on Saturday. I think this is going to be an interesting stretch here because it's been the same way every year in the MIAA for the football team. The teams that they should be more competitive with at this time end up being at the end of the year. The last 2 years they've been so beat up, then they play those teams they should be even with, and things didn't bounce their way. It'll be interesting. These three teams all got off to decent starts, and it seems like UNK is headed the right direction. And I'm not saying these teams are dropping, but they played maybe the top-tier teams Northwest Missouri State and in Pittsburgh State and in Central Missouri, Central Oklahoma. They played them over the last couple of weeks, whereas the Lopers played them right away.
Yeah, and that's Division II. That's probably football across the country. Is scheduling has a lot to do with it. When do you get the right? And so, obviously, UNK is trending in the right direction, and with Fort Hayes coming in, it would be a big victory this weekend. And, you know, I guess I always look at it as everybody says Fort Hayes is our rival because they're our closest school, but from a baseball standpoint, we haven't felt that. I get that feeling from our football program that this is a rivalry. This is something that is definitely viewed as important and is something that the guys are definitely excited to get up for and ready to get after. And, I mean, I think the community is excited. I think it's a community rivalry as far as the Fort Hayes game. So I'm excited to go out there and see it this weekend.
That's about the only school left after UNO left that has had ties with the Lopers over an extended period of time. Emporia in some sports, but not football. So that would make sense. Fort Hayes State. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. By the way, UNK Wrestling ranked third in the country. Speaking of UNO, their former coach, Mike Denny, starting the program at Maryville, preseason number one. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Had a buddy of mine leave me a message this morning. He goes, how's that hockey going at UNO? We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tony Harper, Hastings College, Two Possible, Omaha World Herald, coming up.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system, call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
In honor of our 30th anniversary, we will be celebrating with mall-wide deals Saturday, November 1st at Hilltop Mall. 30 lucky people will have a chance to win a $7,000 Snapper Pro lawnmower, a diamond necklace from Riddles, Y-Bike from CR Toys, and hundreds of other exciting prizes. We will also have Jimmy John's cake and a free showing of Ghostbusters at the Hilltop 4 Theater. Visit our Facebook page for the full list of events and giveaways. We hope to see you there. Hilltop Mall.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. They continue to expand their business, moving more cars, more trucks, new, used, and they are taking care of their customers, but they can only do that with the very best employees, and they want more of that from you. Maybe you're ready to join the Midway team. Midway's growing, seeking motivated and enthusiastic individuals to join their team. And you can go to MidwayCareers.com to check out the benefits and a whole lot more, like the full list of jobs that they're looking for. And it's almost in every single area because they're expanding. They're not replacing. They're expanding. And you don't even need experience because the great folks at Midway will train you. In fact, the folks that have been there for years are constantly being trained and updated on every facet of their job. So if you are interested, check it out at MidwayCareers.com. Midway, it's a better way. Well, last week, Hastings College went out and destroyed the University of Bay, and back to join us is Tony Harper to tell us all about it. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, and it was a great game. I'll tell you what, I was excited to be a part of that game last Saturday.
I'll tell you what, that's the kind of game I can get into and score.
I tell you what, I didn't even raise my voice. I didn't throw one headset. I didn't do anything. That's how it should happen.
No penalties, no mistakes, no turnovers. Those are the best kind ever. Well, Tony,
there you
Tony,
and I was home early in the evening, too, so it was a great day.
You get a little break there to recharge the batteries. I know you were doing some recruiting. What did you do as far as giving the guys, if you did, any time off during that break?
Well, I think I'm getting a little soft in my old age. We scrimmaged on Thursday with some of the young guys to get some competition going on, had some one-on-ones, O-line, D-line, DB, receiver type of stuff. We gave them Friday and Saturday completely off from all football-related activities, and then we brought them back Sunday later in the afternoon, started implementing the game plan for Northwestern, watched film, got them in the training room, got some ice baths. And we did have a practice yesterday. Usually we give them Monday off, but we wanted to get an extra day of work in, so we did go yesterday, and we'll go the rest of this week just like a normal work week.
Did you, and I guess the big question here is, as we heard the status and the bad news about Matt Overmiller, take us through that.
Yeah, unfortunately we've lost Matt for the rest of his senior season, and I tell you what, though, Matt is doing a tremendous job of, you know, talking to Jason and talking to Anthony and being at every practice and being at every film room. Unfortunately, you hate to see a guy go out, especially with the type of season Matt was having, and I think it was one of the better ones that we've had in a while. I think he had obviously earned some all-conference recognition, but Matt's not letting that hang his head or anything like that, and he's doing a good job prepping Jason and Anthony as well to get those guys ready for a tough opponent this Saturday.
Talking with Tony Harper, a head football coach at Hastings College. You touched on your backup last week a little bit. Just in the week of practice here where he might be getting more reps, what are you seeing?
You know, what we're seeing with Jason is, because usually what you go in throughout the week is your number ones generally get anywhere between 60 to 70% of the reps, and the two gets about 20 to 30. You know, and it's kind of slimmed down a little bit when you're doing those reps. But now, with Jason becoming the number one guy, he's getting about 70 to 80% just to try and, you know, catch him up a little bit, and that includes getting Anthony a few more reps. What we've noticed with Jason is he's kind of like a sponge. He's doing a very good job of coming in and getting extra work in. You know, the thing with Jason is, you know, he's been in the system for a year. He's comfortable with Coach Mulrin, Coach K, Coach Holtzclaw. He knows the system. The juniors and seniors know him because he was here this whole summer. So he's approaching it the right way. We just got to make sure this week and throughout the game on Saturday that he stays relaxed, he stays composed, and he doesn't let a lot of stuff fluster him. And he's a pretty even keel kid, and he's very similar to Matt, where not a lot of stuff's going to rattle him. But again, this is he's playing against the number 8 ranked team in the nation, one of the best defenses in the nation. They're going to get their plays. We just got to make sure we don't force it. And I think Jason is ready for that, and we're looking forward to putting him out there.
So who now slides into the 2 and 3 role in case you need to go there the rest of the way?
The guy that's going to be moving up to number 2 is Anthony Cloyd. He's a freshman from Miller South. He's kind of taken over, well, he has taken over the punting duties. We have got him, you know, a couple series throughout the season already. Coach Holtzclaw, the offensive coordinator, does a great job of making sure a guy gets a rep here and there. He'll be getting a lot of those, and you know, we're going to roll with Jason, but Anthony needs to be prepared because, like we saw 2 weeks ago and like we saw last year, at any point in time, your number can be called. So we got to make sure we're focused and know the system inside and out.
Coach, Northwestern's the 8th ranked team in the country. You take them on this weekend. What makes them so good?
They play hard. They play physical. Their coaches have been there. I mean, they're all alums of there. They've been through the system. They know the tradition at Northwestern. They play a stacked defense. They get after you on defense. Offensively, they run a zone read type of thing, kind of like Florida did a few years ago or Ohio State's doing now. They know what they're doing, and they're going to do it. Regardless of what you do, they're going to come out. They're going to do their little tweaks, but their scheme is here we are. If you get us, you get us, but we're just going to wear you down. And they're a tough team, and they deserve that top 10 ranking.
Tony Harper is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Yeah, you mentioned their defense. What is it that they do that is different than some of the other opponents?
You know, what they'll do is they'll play some quarters coverage like a lot of the teams do in this league, but it's out of the stack. It's not out of the 3-4. So they'll take, for example, one of their outside linebackers, and they'll walk him out and squat over that over that receiver and put that corner on the roof. We don't see that a lot, and I think one of the big reasons they do it is so they can disrupt the timing of the routes. Because that outside linebacker is more of a physical guy than most corners are, so they do that. That's one little tweak. They got a defensive end, and this guy is, I mean, he's an All-American. He's about 6'5", 240, and he can line up in the 5 outside shade of the tackle and get all the way down in the A-gap. That's how athletic he is. So they let him do a lot of freedom, a lot of line stunts with those guys. They're usually big up front, and with the stack scheme, their linebackers get their fit and they go right now. And those are just some of the things that we don't see a lot of because predominantly we see 3-4, which you only got 7 guys in the box. Those guys got 8, sometimes 9 with that safety because they'll line him up in the box as well. So we're going to have to make sure we're counting hats and knowing where everybody's at.
This is a team that can win low-scoring games, and most of the time the top-tier teams in the GPAC are going to outscore you. But when they struggled a couple of times against Doan, against Nebraska Wesleyan, what were those teams able to do to slow down their offense?
You know, they were at those times, and that was early in the season, and what they were able to do is Doan's defense and Nebraska Wesleyan's defense, who, in my opinion anyway, is a defensive guy. You know, you think about Morningside, you think about Northwestern, right there in the same breath, you have to mention Doan's defense. You have to mention Nebraska Wesleyan's defense. And what those two guys did extremely well, Doan bounced around from a 3-3 to a 4-2. Nebraska Wesleyan's a 40-man front. They moved their front a lot and did some different things. They were able to get some pressure, slow down that running game, and put the pressure on their quarterback when he's throwing the football. Their backfield is entirely new. So what they did is they slowed down that run game and made him be a little uncomfortable back there in the pocket. And that's what we're going to have to try and do because they can run the football with anybody. And, you know, we got to put the pressure on that quarterback a little bit to cause some problems for him.
As you get ready to go to Orange City here, just a general question. I was browsing their roster earlier, and you're used to seeing in the G-Pack maybe finding a kid or two that was from this neck of the woods. Of course, a lot more of those when you're going to Doan or Concordia or things like that. But that's not the case with Northwestern of Iowa. How is the state of Iowa high school football compared to Nebraska, and how much do you try to get into Iowa, or do you leave that alone?
We'll dabble a little bit into Iowa. We got a young man on our team right now from Sydney, you know, which is right across the border from Nebraska. So we try and dabble right across the border. We're trying to get into Council Bluffs a little bit. You know, it's kind of hard for me to say exactly where Iowa high school football is compared to Nebraska high school football, because I just haven't seen a lot of Iowa high school football. I think what they got up there in the northwestern part of the state, it seems like, and I give Coach Achterhoff and Coach McCarty grief about this all the time, anybody that's in a 60-mile radius, doesn't matter who's recruiting them, they're going to end up in Orange City, Iowa, because I think their head coach is from there, or they got a cousin who went there, or a brother or a dad, and it's kind of just ingrained that's where they go. It's good football up there. They're coached very well. You know, I was actually talking to Coach Merck a couple days ago, and we were just happened to be on the same conversation. And I think, you know, the difference between Iowa and Nebraska is Nebraska, you could one week you're going to see a triple option, or you're going to see a, you know, two tight pro formation. The next week, Nebraska high school football, you're going to see multiple sets. You're going to see some options. You're going to see some teams that throw the football. I think it's a lot more varied schemes over here. And I think that makes it good for recruiting. And Northwestern's done a pretty good job of getting, you know, they go out to the West. They got some starters on their team from California. So they've really opened that up a little bit. But give me a good old Nebraska guy any day of the week, and I'll take that guy.
All right, Coach. I know Northwestern has Morningside next week, so let's catch them looking ahead a little bit and upset them.
We're going to try our best.
All right, Coach. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Tony Harper, head football coach, Hastings College, taking on Northwestern, 1 o'clock, 12:30 KHAS on Saturday.
There's a pizza ranch in Orange City, Iowa.
Is that a good thing? It's a chain.
Yeah. It's pretty special.
Stu Pospis, Omaha World Herald, when we come back.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
You work hard and the clothes you wear work just as hard. This is Don Dreyer, and for clothes that put in a hard day's work, come to Willis Shoe & Boot, where you'll find Wolverine and Walls workwear. At Willis Shoe & Boot, you'll find traditional insulated coveralls and coats, hooded jackets, vests, denim and fleece-lined work shirts, hooded sweatshirts, and thermal work shirts. For clothes that work as hard as you do, come to Willis Shoe & Boot, 379 North Walnut, Grand Island.
When it comes to footwear, there's one good name to know. Come get the best, come make the stop at Willis Shoe & Boot. Boot Shop.
Download the Kearney app, made possible by Good Samaritan, and unlock a side of Kearney you never knew existed. Explore places of interest with virtual tours. Get alerts when you're near a business with a Kearney app deal. Find a bargain with the garage sale listings. Browse the UNK events and the Loper sports schedules. Find a place to call home with real estate listings and mortgage information. Download the Kearney app for free at kearneyapp.com.
Prepare yourself. The Freak Show has made its way to the World Theater. Come see the freaks, the weird, and the clowns as they show you around their carnival this Halloween. Doors open at 8 on October 23rd, 24th, 25th, 30th, and 31st. Tickets are $10, and you can get them at the World Theater box office or online at theworldtheater.org. There will be games, fortunes, and prizes all night while you await your turn to explore the gruesome Freak Show.
Southern Hills Golf Course wants you to enjoy everything they have to offer with a golf membership for next year. A beautiful 18-hole course just south of Hastings. Clubhouse with a new deck. Dining room, snack bar, driving range, practice putting green, and now limited golf cart storage. Have fun with men's and women's leagues, Friday night couples, junior golf program, and golf lessons at Southern Hills. As a bonus, with your 2015 membership, get unlimited golf and enjoy Southern Hills for the rest of this year. Call 463-8006 for the details.
The state high school football playoffs get underway Thursday with Class D action on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Among our radio games, Shelton at Hemingford, Blue Hill North Central, Amherst Ansley Litchfield, and Giltner Lawrence Nelson. Then classes A, B, and C get going on Friday. We'll be covering St. Cecilia Southern, Kearney Catholic Boys Town, and Aquinas and Gibbon. Plus, postseason volleyball begins Monday. It's the postseason football and volleyball here and on PlatteRiverPreps.com. Show Doug to the Dame of Day. Time winding down on the T&L Harvest Special. $5 per foot discount. Get it done today. You can save $6,500. And when you can save money, why wouldn't you step up and get the best of the business? A quarter mile long T&L pivot could save you $6,500 during the $5 per foot discount. Get decades of reliability with the hydrostatic power of a T&L pivot system. T&L, proven technology for a lifetime. Call T&L or your local T&L dealer today. You can go online to find out a whole lot more at TLIRR.com. The state high school football playoffs get underway on Thursday in Class D, and the rest of the classes get underway on Friday. And the prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, Stu Pospisil, here to chat about it. How are you, Stu?
Good, Doug and Damon. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Top of the world.
Damon wishes that he could have been out running at the cross-country meet with us Friday.
Who ran? You didn't. I didn't.
Only downhill. Yeah. There weren't a lot of big stories Friday, and we talked about it all day Friday, so I didn't jump up and down about it yesterday, and there weren't a lot of big stories right in our backyard, but there were a couple of pretty big stories when you've got a four-time state champion, and Crofton has won 9 in a row now, so there were definitely a couple stories.
Oh, there were, yeah. Geraldine Poe goes undefeated at the state meet for Lincoln North Star, only the third four-time class champion and the first to win four golds because the Shona Jones from Hastings came before the advent of the all-class gold medal, and then Amber Fairbanks from Geneva was running at the same time as some gal named Kelly Lindsay from Miller North, who was the last one to have had a chance for four golds, and it was kind of a day like Friday, and she collapsed during the race. So it was good to see Geraldine finish it off. She's got a bright future ahead of her, and she has a few more gold medals, I think, to win in the state track meet this year.
Here's a question among the many that we would have from time to time for the NSAA, this was one of the warmest days that many people that have covered the state cross-country meet can remember, but it doesn't seem to matter. There's always kids that go down where the entire crowd can see them in that last 400 yards down the tunnel here. And if you touch them, if you try to help them and there's any contact, then they are DQ'd from the race. Where's the fine line going to be, Stu? Because with all that we keep seeing and hearing, we're talking concussions, we're talking health of these competitors. What if that competitor truly needs help? I was watching it Friday, and I guess I just thought, what if you let them sit there and try too hard too long?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line, and, you know, there are kids that are determined to finish. I mean, this has been what they've worked for all year. And, heat illness is as much a concern as concussions. You know, Aaron Lee from York, who was one of those that did not finish, you know, she had heat exhaustion last year in the season opening race. And, you know, I had heat exhaustion a few years ago at a Shrine game. And, you know, it still affects me a little bit when it gets really hot. You know, I'm not doing the running that an Aaron Lee is doing. So when she collapses, you know, I mean, that's a really fine line. And you want the kid to try and finish for self-respect. But, sometimes I think you have to side on the error of caution. That's where you have to have trained medical professionals. And they are down there at the finish line. But, you know, I'm sure during the race, there's even some teammates trying to help those that are staggering. And, you know, that's like a betting the runner.
Well, let's get back to football. State playoffs get underway. We'll start with the big boys in Class A. Is there anybody that can derail Omaha North, and who will they be meeting in the finals?
Well, I think it's North to lose. They've got all the parts going. You know, Calvin Strong is when he, you know, when they need him, he can put up a 300-yard game. It's kind of like a Amir Abdullah. They've been pretty good in resting him so that he's not worn out for the stretch run. Last couple weeks, he's had a couple 200-yard games, and I think he's ready to go. I think North's ready to go. I look for Miller North to come out the other side of the bracket, especially in October, in November, where the weather gets a little dicier. They've got that running first mentality, and they have a quarterback, Ethan Morrison, who can throw it when needed. And I think it's going to be a pretty good collision in the state final. But North last year twice beat Miller North. So,
how do you think Grand Island will do in this year's state tournament?
Well, I think that they're going to be able to take care of Columbus in this round. And I think they could get far enough to get a rematch with Omaha North. But if how I think the bracket plays out, because I think Kearney's going to go up to Norfolk and beat the Panthers again because of the Panthers quarterback situation with their starter out for the year and also out for basketball, Gunnar Fuelbarth, with a knee injury. They just did not have any experience at quarterback last week with two sophomores, and I think Kearney gets the job done again this time. Then that would probably mean that North would host Grand Island instead of going out to the Islanders stadium this year, and we know how good a game it was last year, but I just think North is more experienced, and in Omaha they play really well.
Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald. I think Class B is pretty open, and to be quite frank, Aurora is the only team, and McCook within maybe even shouting distance. So I guess I'm going to move on to Class C and see what we've got here with the first year back to the 16 teams. And it's going to give us a lot of quality matchups in the first round in both C1 and C2.
Yeah, I think it's worked out. I think the new system identified probably the top 16 teams. I mean, Raymond Central was the only 6-3 in C1 not to get in, and they lost to a Lincoln Christian team that was sub-500. So I think having the ninth game was one more factor that helps identify the best teams, and I think that has worked in both C1 and C2. Yeah, I think there's going to be some very good games first round, just as there would be in the old second round.
Boys Town is coming out to play Kearney Catholic. What can you tell the listening area about Boys Town who they may not be very familiar with?
Speed, speed, and more speed. Kevin Davis is their quarterback, a capable thrower, very good runner, very good defender. It's a situation where Kearney Catholic's going to want to try and get an early lead to maybe make Boys Town do things that they don't like to do, such as, throwing more than they want. But, they better put the track shoes on in the Stars locker room, because they will see more speed than they probably have all year.
When you take a look at what we see in I'll be frank, getting back to C1, I think that side of the bracket is immensely tougher than the top half of the bracket that has Ashland Greenwood and defending state champion Cozad. Would you agree?
Yeah, when you've got Boone Central and Norfolk Catholic hung together, and, saw that game last week, Boone Central's a very good ball club. This is Arnie Johnson's swan song out there. I like what the Cardinals do. Now, Wyatt Missouri is healthy, and he's got an ankle that goes sour every now and then, and he played through it last week. But, yeah, you could see a rematch of Boone and Norfolk Catholic a week from Friday, and then on the other side, that half bracket, Kearney Catholic very well come through that game potentially with Columbus SCOTUS. If both those teams win, that'd be a slam banger too. And I like Boone Central still to come out of that side with the healthy Wyatt Missouri on the top side. you know, could we see a rematch of Ashland and Cozad? Quite possibly. I like Ashland this time around.
Moving on to C2 real quick. We got Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald with us here. You've got an undefeated Sutton team that has beaten a couple of really good football teams, but only garnered the number six seed and maybe a tougher than they want first round matchup with Hardington Cedar Catholic. I think if Sutton wins that, then they get Freeman. I don't know anything about Freeman. I think the semifinal match would be the easiest compared to the first two. What do you like about and I think Battle Creek, with all due respect to Hastings, St. Cecilia, and Aquinas, they better have their rooms booked for the fans already.
Battle Creek's a very solid team. I've not seen them yet, but they played very well last year in the playoffs. Yeah, I agree. I think the Hardington CC Sutton winner gets to the semifinals. Freeman's a first-year 11-man team. They've grown that Adams-Philly co-op, now a merger. They've gotten more students, so they built a brand-new stadium for 11-man play. Stanton has lost only to Battle Creek and Oakland Craig, but the rest of their schedule is pretty soft. So, and then on the bottom half, I say the one to watch is Oakland Craig. They have their quarterback coming back. He played in the opening 7-6 win over Fremont Bergen. That's probably the Knights' best win of the year. And I think with Nick Art, running back, who's putting up about 250 a game, you know, that CC Sutton winner against Oakland Craig would be a pretty good semifinal.
Stu, is there anything that stands out to you in Class D?
You know, Creighton got the number one seed and Friend. I'm not sure those are the two best teams in the class. I've got Hemingford, which is last year's runner-up, almost beat Extra Milligan in the state final last year. They're the Bobcats are the three seed in the West bracket. I think I could see a Hemingford-Fullerton quarterfinal there with Creighton going, maybe against a Burwell team that's been coming on since an opening loss. And then, I'd probably have to go with the Hemingford-Fullerton winner. But Creighton's still pretty good. They graduated Jacob Morrell last year, who was a four-time 1,000-yard rusher. They don't have quite his capability in the backfield, but Creighton's always going to be good.
There's some really good teams in D1. I think the with due respect to Blue Hill and Amherst, who made the semifinals last year, Hemingford-Fullerton, the winner goes on and probably plays BDS in the state championship. That's my prediction anyway. And D2, Exeter Milligan, they want to do it again, it looks like.
They do. They were knocked off the 8-man 2 defending champion, Paul State's Sacred Heart, during the year. That was a very good win for the Timberwolves. On the opposite side of the bracket is Stewart, which made the state finals last year before losing to Sacred Heart. That could be a very good semifinal. You've got Giltner in there. You've got Kennesaw. Kennesaw maybe without Austin Schnitzler, maybe for one round if it was only a concussion like we heard. And you got Sacred Heart over there, too. You never can discount a Doug Goldstein, that's for sure. And out west, that bracket, Myrna's got Trent. Is it Geyser or Geyser, guys?
Geyser.
Very good running back from what I can tell. Garden County's the number two seed. I don't think Garden's played a very strong schedule at all. You know, it'll be quite interesting to see who does come through. I'd go right now, with weather and everything, going with Trent and Anselmo Myrna.
Now, I'll tell you what, it's good picks, and that Stewart Fall City Sacred Heart could be a second round matchup in the playoffs the way it works out this year. Stewart actually ends up in the East. Kennesaw is in the East. Giltner is in the East. Those are teams that have been, not all the time, but sometimes in the West in the past. And just reading from what you put up throughout the week on the World Herald website, There's no red flags. Everything seems pretty good, and I know you're pleased as the state playoffs get ready to kick off.
You know, the only drawback, and we talked about state cross country, is I think the C's are going to get less attention as a result of going to Friday nights, and I don't know if they would want to go to Thursday night. I know the school administrators like being able to have one less school night used, for 3 weeks for these playoffs. But, in the scheme of things, almost all media are going to have to start choosing what you cover on Friday nights between what we cover and what you air. And then in 2 years, you're going to see the eight-man probably getting the same deal that we're, instead of having a bunch of playoff nights, which everybody in my household except my wife likes, you're going to have everybody on Friday nights. And it's going to be, okay, you're going to probably cover A, B, and your C1s first, and those eight-mans that will get, the stage themselves on four nights this year are going to be in the mix. So I don't know if that's necessarily good for them.
Well, let's hope it doesn't go that way. Stu, if you could go to the World Series tonight, would you go?
Mike Patterson would probably fight me if I had a ticket. And, I might sell it to him, for a couple foul. He's that big of a Royals fan. I think they win tonight. I game seven, who knows? I mean, does Baumgartner need to come back in relief? It could be a very exciting two nights in Kansas City. And, the Royals have history on their side, but they're going to have to get better pitching and get some better hitting, especially out of Gordon.
All right, Stuart, enjoy the playoffs. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, guys.
Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World-Herald. Damon Day, Loper baseball coach since 2003. The home, if there's been a home game in the World Series for six or seven, game six or game seven, the home team has won every one of them since 2003.
And if the Royals win tonight, I will consider moving game time
out of way
to watch a game seven.
And the game sixes have always been closer than the game sevens. A majority of the time is the way that breaks.
The last great game seven was when?
Well,
1997.
No, 2001, when the Diamondbacks got the broken back single up the middle to beat the New York Yankees.
See, I think 97 was better than that.
Well, I say it wasn't. I'm just saying you said the last one that was great, and because the Yankees
that lost, one wasn't that great. That's epic. A bulking bat flare.
They scored off Mariano Rivera.
Yeah,
it's like the only loss he ever had.
And that just goes to show you baseball. Perfect pitch, did everything it was supposed to, and whoop. At least Edgar Renteria hit the ball hard, solidly.
Anytime the Yankees lose, it's a good thing.
I disagree.
Let's hope the Royals win. Makes it good for the sport. I mean, they win enough, so I'm just saying anytime they lose. A couple notes before we get out of here. The latest Heisman polls are out. Amir Abdullah has moved up. He's fifth in the ESPN poll. Dak Prescott of Mississippi State, 1 point ahead of Marcus Mariota of Oregon. And then it's way back. Melvin Gordon, running back Wisconsin. Amari Cooper, wide receiver Alabama. And then Amir Abdullah is fifth. Then Trevon Boykin, the quarterback from TCU, is sixth. Jameis Winston is seventh. Really, you got the TCU quarterback ahead of him? Okay.
I just think it's very strange still that Jameis Winston's still allowed to be a candidate and still have his Heisman, but Reggie Bush, who was never convicted of a crime, was his Heisman was stripped from him.
I know. You go to.
I always bring that up, but I just that one I just can't fathom. O.J. Simpson still has his Heisman.
Now, of course, here's your. It's not biased specifically because there's no SEC guys that are moved ahead or behind Amir, but NFL.com has Amir Abdullah number three. Sports Illustrated has Amir Abdullah number three. CBS Sports, almost every one of their guys has Amir number four. Well, all of them do have either four or higher, and Mr. Dodd has Amir number one right now. He's voting him number one for the Heisman.
If Mississippi State wins all the way through, it's Dak Prescott, correct? As a no-loss Dak Prescott,
as a Heisman voter, I'm not saying yes to that.
Okay. I will speak for all the non-voters. If Dak Prescott runs the table and is as good as he has been,
and they run the table, I think he's your leader.
If a miracle
after that, then I think you have the Mariota Abdul debate. I think it really depends on if the Huskers get to the Big Ten championship. I don't think Amir gets the love if there's a slip up along the way or they're not playing in that Big Ten championship. I don't think he gets the same thing. I think whoever slips up, they will lose. You know, if Prescott goes out in Alabama and just manhandles them, I think that'll throw him into the back of the pile.
If Amir breaks Mike Rozier's rushing record at Nebraska and he doesn't go to New York at least.
Oh, I think he'll go to New York. I think Amir definitely gets to go to New York. I think he'll be one of those top three guys that's invited to New York. I just think he's chasing at this point right now that glamour position, SEC West, national title guy. Everyone's talking about it. I think Dak Prescott is too far ahead right now without a major slip-up on his part, which could happen on November the 15th when they play Alabama. It could happen a lot of different times. I just think that for Amir to really get a true shot at a chance to win it, no matter what he does record-wise, the Huskers have to get to that Big Ten championship.
Right now, I love Amir. I love Amari Cooper from Alabama, and then some respect for Dak Prescott. Our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Not everybody's on board. How will Nebraska finish their remaining four games? One win, two, three, or four? 67% of you believe the Huskers will go 3-1. 22% says they will run the table. 11% said 2-2 in their games against Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. ESPNSuperstation.com is where you can vote for the Midtown Mark Cooler question. Today's question, the College Football Committee releases their rankings tonight. Which of their criteria should be most important when picking the four teams in December? Conference champions, strength of schedule, head-to-head competition, outcomes between common opponents, God no, and other factors like injuries. If somebody comes back and maybe you lost a game because you didn't have your stud, I think you have to factor that in. If you're not a conference champion, it's pretty hard to get in, I would think. And a lot of the head-to-head competition.
I think you make a lot of things very, very easy if the committee just says you have to be a conference champion. It's kind of like the playoff before the playoff type of thing. So that's what I don't understand is how are you going to have a if Alabama doesn't even win their division, let alone their conference, yeah, how are they going to get in?
That's going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Game 6 of the World Series tonight here on ESPN Radio and the Breeze, 94.5 FM. First pitch, 7:07. Damon, should I go to Game 6 of the World Series tonight?
If you don't go to Game 6 of the World Series, I'll be disappointed.
Okay, so I'm going to get out of here and hopefully be back in time for the Husker lunch tomorrow. The Husker lunch is going on no matter what.
Can you let me know if you need a replacement?
I could always use
I could
that
drop help. some knowledge on some Husker fans.
We would love that. Tomorrow, Sean Callahan from Husker Online will be there. John Mazner, UNK Soccer. Your man, Steve Sutzman, will be there as well to talk with us. Bob Jensen with more playoff news. Don't forget UNK Volleyball tonight plays at Fort Hays. They're fourth in the country. Nebraska stays at number 14. Plenty of high school volleyball tonight as well. And tonight, Olympic bobsledder Kurt Tomasevich will be honored with the Tom Osborne Leadership Award during the banquet at the Hastings City Auditorium. Matt Davison and many other dignitaries will be there. So, Damon, as always, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you.
Go Royals. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.